we're coming to. What people need today is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yeah, well, can people handle the truth, though?
I believe they can. In the situation room.
Welcome to the Situation Room, the program that applies God's word to our present situation. We take the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth of God's word, and apply it to our daily lives. Because at the end of the day, what really matters is not what I say, but what does the word of God say? And I ask that you take everything that you hear from what I say or somebody else say on this program, and you check it out with the word of God. Because if anyone try to put something on your spiritual plate that don't line up with the scriptures, well, just put that in your spiritual garbage disposal. Because all you want on your spiritual plate is the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. So help you God. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome this morning to the Situation Room. It is indeed a plumb pleasure to have you this morning in the Situation Room. After all, this is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. We're excited and delighted to have you this morning in the Situation Room. We hope and pray things are going well for you and your family in your neck of the woods. We have a wonderful program for you today. Today is the day we focus in on some edification. And on yesterday, we was listening to a great sermon by Reverend Jeffrey Johnson. He was preaching a sermon, "What in Hell Was Jesus Doing?" And he was using that scripture over in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, where he begins with verse number 7, he says, "But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captive, and gave gifts unto men." He led captivity's captives and gave gifts unto men. Now, he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. In other words, when he descended, he went into hell. And so that's what Jeffrey Johnson was preaching. What in hell was Jesus doing? And So we listened to the first part of the sermon on yesterday, and so let's finish listening to the second part today. So get close to your radio and listen as Jeffrey Johnson preaches.
There was this hurricane that had come through Florida. I don't remember the name of it. There was a hurricane that went through Florida. If you know anything about hurricanes, when they are so bad, the weather people can detect them coming. And so then the government has to decide, should we evacuate? This one was so bad, the winds were so strong, the rains, the floods, and they decided they would evacuate. But you know, when they evacuate those cities and towns in Florida, there's always somebody saying they ain't leaving. And they board their houses and board their windows and their business, and they decide they're going to stick the storm out. And some decided they would do that, though many left. After that hurricane hit, it destroyed many cities, many towns, billions of dollars worth of damage. And this one particular area was in such devastation that the rescuers were walking down the street with flashlights, screaming and hollering into the torn down houses and homes. Is there anybody here? Anybody trapped? Anybody need any help? And in one particular house, somebody hollered back, "I'm in here. My family's in here. We need some help. We can't see our way out of this." And as the rescuer approached the house to try to help them with his flashlight, he said, "I can't come in." He's hollering back, "I can't come in because I smell some gas. There's a gas leak somewhere. And it's too dangerous for us to come in." And he said, as he hollered in, "What I'm going to do is flash this light in. And when I flash my flashlight in, you follow the light out." Y'all, here's what I'm telling you, that sometimes life gets so devastating that everything crumbles around you, and even the best people can't get to where you are. But I promise Jesus is the light of the world, and the light can show up in dark situations. And if you follow the light, he can bring you out. You need direction. He led captivity captive. He led the captives in his train. He brought them out. That's emancipation. Because I may have been catching hell all this time, but this text shows me Jesus can bring us out. That's what you got to get in your mind. Some of us are already convinced. I'm going to be in this mess for an eternity. Wait a minute. I want you to know he can bring you out. And Pastor, how do you know he can bring you out? That's because the book of Revelations, chapter 1, verse 18, Jesus has the key to death and hell. Y'all, because he has the key, he can bring you out. Now, keys lock and unlock, because hell was created for the devil and his angels. So the key can lock, and the devil and his angels will spend an eternity in hell. But we don't have to, because hell wasn't created for us. But if we give Jesus Christ our faith, he won't lock it on us. He unlocks it. He can bring us out. And not only can he, but he will bring you out. And I know he will, because this text is showing us him bringing some folk out of hell. Y'all, he can bring you. I wish y'all could understand this and get this today, that no matter how bad your situation is, we serve a God that can emancipate you. He can liberate you. And whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Now, how does he do it? How does he liberate us? How does he set us free from our hell? That's why we had to read 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18 and 19. And Peter says, when Jesus died on the cross, that before he was resurrected, he went to Hades and he preached to the spirits that were in prison. He preached to the spirits that were in bondage. Between his crucifixion and resurrection, after his death, and before he got up, he went into Hades, and watch what he was doing. He preached to the spirits that were in bondage. How did he get the captives out? He did it through anointed preaching. That's why in Ephesians 4 and 7, I read that, because it says Christ went to prison. Christ would, y'all, the word Christ, that title for the Son of God means the anointed one. Y'all, the anointed one went to hell and preached folk out of hell. If you want to be emancipated, if you want to be set free, it comes through anointed preaching. All right, y'all ain't understanding me. I thank God for all the symbols and the signs of Christianity. I really do. I thank God for all the signs and the wonders of Christianity. Thank God for the miracles of Christianity. Thank God for the praise and the worship. Thank God for the prayers. Thank God for the songs that are sung. Where would we be without gospel music to encourage us and exhort us? But I want y'all to understand something. When you in hell, those things will not bring you out, but what brings you out of hell is anointed preaching. And that's why you got to be careful who you get your preaching from. Jesus said in Luke 4 and 18, Jesus said, as he goes into the temple and he stands up and he begins to speak, he said, the Spirit of God is upon me, and he has anointed me to preach the good news, to preach the Euon Gileon, to preach the good news of God's grace for salvation. Because, y'all, it sets the captives free. And anybody that's in bondage to hell, I dare you to submit to the preached word of God. How many of you know it'll bring you out? And you know what's so bad? When we going through hell, that's the last thing we want to hear. We don't want to hear preaching. All the hell I'm catching. Don't even want to come to church. Don't want to hear no preacher's name. Don't buy no tape. Won't listen to nothing anybody say. And the very thing you need is what you've been shedding out. It's anointed preaching. Now here's the thing. We got to be careful of being judgmental of folk coming out of hell. Because the preaching, the anointed preaching, brings salvation, brings them out. But even after somebody comes out of hell, they still got the stench of hell on them. Y'all, when somebody comes out of hell, they out of hell. But the effects of hell is to see those y'all just got saved 2 or 3 weeks ago. Y'all ain't fooling us. You might be saved, but you ain't sanctified. The same stuff you came out of, we still smell it on you. You think you fooling us with a cross and a big Bible, but we see the effects of the world's life on you. Because even when you come out in salvation, you still need some sanctification. That's why you need the anointing. That's the power of the Spirit. All right. Y'all saw the World Trade Center collapse and burn. We saw that. And I talked to Freddie Haynes on Friday, who was preaching in New York for our former president of Bishop College. And he said, Jay, the building is still smoking. And we saw people coming out of the World Trade Center. And as they came out, they had soot on them, smoke all over them, dust and dirt. Watch them. They've come out of the burning building, but the effects of the fire was still on them. And so people were running up to them with bottled water and washcloths, because though they come out of the fire, they still ain't clean. Y'all ain't getting this thing. And you can't be judgmental of people who've just come out of hell, because they still got the effects of hell on them. And here they come with bottled water and a washcloth. And for some people, that was enough, because they didn't have as far to come out as some others. But y'all, folk on the 70 and 80 floor, coming through all that soot and smoke and fire and dirt and dust, they gonna have some more stuff on them, because they came out from under more stuff than some folk. They had to come further than, before you start judging me on how dirty I am, I want you to know bottled water and a washcloth, that ain't enough to clean me up, because I was deep in hell. And some of y'all ain't gotta look at me funny. We need a cleansing agent. We need a bath. We need a shower. We need more than a washcloth and bottled water. But how many of you know the Spirit will sanctify you? Oh, emancipation, that ain't all. Then there's distribution. Watch him. Watch what he does. He leads captivity in his train. He takes the captives and brings them out. Leads them in his train. And then it says, he gave gifts to men and women. Watch what he does. He brings them out, and then he begins to distribute gifts. Oh, I love this part. You know what he does? When Jesus gets ready to give gifts, he finds the most low-down folk he can. See, y'all ain't getting it. When we give stuff to people, we find the highest people. Our church has given over $500,000 in scholarships since I've been here. And when we have given over $500,000 worth of scholarships to young people, we didn't go and find the lowest GPAs. We gave scholarships to the highest GPAs. We were looking for people that met high standards and high criteria. But that's why the text talks about the grace of Jesus Christ. Because when Jesus comes to give, he ain't looking for the highest. He's looking for those in the world beneath, in the lower regions. He's looking for those in hell. So if you in hell right now, you are a prime candidate for Jesus giving you something special. But now when he gives the gifts, he didn't distribute the gifts until people came out of hell. There was distribution, but it didn't happen until emancipation. Because for some of us, the stuff you in right now, if Jesus gave you a gift, you would abuse it. For some of us, the mess you're doing now, if Jesus gave you a present, you would abuse it. So Jesus says, I got something waiting on you. You've been begging God for some stuff. And Jesus said, I got it waiting on you as soon as you follow me out of hell. Oh, I love this. I love this. Watch this. Watch this. Jesus goes to hell and back to give gifts to us. He that ascended, first he descended, then he ascended back above the heavens. He went to hell and back. He went through hell to give gifts to us. Now let me ask you something. All the hell Jesus been through to give you your gift, then what are you doing with it? All the hell he been through to give you salvation, to give you the Holy Spirit, to give you the gifts of the Spirit, what are you doing with it? For some of us, we just come into church to watch other folk exercise their gift. All right, let me say it like this. Those of us of African descent, think about what our foreparents went through so that we can experience our rights and live out our privileges to be Americans. Look at what they went through. Sometimes being stoned, of course being talked about, being cussed out. They went to jail for us. Look at what they went through. Water hoses. Look at what they went through. They went through so much mess in order to give us our freedoms. And then some of us, Ron, won't even register to vote. All the hell they went through, and some of us won't even go vote. Look at what they went through for integration. I asked my son yesterday, I said, how many African Americans are in your school? He said, Daddy, I don't know. I said, well, just give me an estimate. He said, well, there are four in the eighth grade. I said, wait a minute. You mean there are four in your eighth grade class, in your homeroom? He said, no, Daddy, there are four in the school. I want y'all to understand something. When you deal with what we can do now, there was a time, it wasn't just four, it wasn't any, because there was no integration. There was always separation. But look at the hell that our foreparents went through so that you can go to the school you went to and I can go to Christian Theological Seminary and anywhere your money or mine can take you, and some of us got the audacity to drop out of school. All right, y'all didn't get it with our foreparents. Those of us who are parents, think about the sacrifices you make for your kids. Think about the stuff you give up for them. Think about how hard you work. Man, when I look at my kids, don't y'all come in here with indifference, because y'all don't know the hell I went through to get to this neighborhood. Y'all don't know the hell I went through to get you in that school. Y'all don't know the hell I went through to give you your privileges. Then you gonna be in here all indifferent? Hell no, baby. God has brought us too far for us not to be right with him. Stop wasting his gifts. You know what? I was going to cut this message off. I'm going to preach all this today. Let me tell y'all something. The gifts that he gives are other people. Almost missed this. Verse 11. Almost missed this. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, that we might be made into the meet up to the measure of Jesus Christ. Now, I almost missed this, because I preached this. I preached verse 11 before, and when I preached it, I kept talking about the gift of missionary, or the gift of prophecy, or I would talk about the gift of evangelism, or the gift of pastoring, or the gift of teaching. That ain't what that's talking about. It ain't talking about the presence. It's talking about the people. He gave some apostles. Those are people. He gave some prophets, those are people. He gave some evangelists, those are people. He gave some pastor teachers, those are people. Because the gifts he gives to us coming out of hell is the gift of other people, that we might measure up, that we might come into the unity of the body of Christ, so that we will stop being tossed to and fro by every wind and doctrine like little children, that we might be matured. He gives us other people. You know what he does? Christ takes his presence and puts them in people, and then gives you the people as your present. But the problem with many of us, why we can't handle life, is because we are so focused on the package that we miss out on the present. Oh, y'all missed that thing. I gave my wife a nice little gift for her birthday a couple of weeks ago. Nice little gift. And every time I give her a gift, I get it wrapped up. ribbon on it and bow on it, and because my wife loves the package. But now my wife gave me this bracelet back in May for my birthday. It's a decent bracelet, too, nice bracelet. And I don't remember what the package looked like. I don't even remember if it was wrapped, because I don't care about the package. I just want the present inside the package. And those of you who won't hear certain people, and well, they too tall, they too short. Well, I can't hear no black preacher. No, he's a white preacher. No, she's female. I can't hear that. No, he's a man. He went to the wrong school where he got the wrong background. He's learned. He forget the package. Baby, thank God for the gift that's in the package. That's what helps us measure up. Here's my last thing. My last thing is ascension, because he that descended is the same one that ascended. Watch what it says. That he that descended into the deep is the same one that ascended above the heavens. I love Jesus. He's a great example to us, because Jesus doesn't change regardless of what level he's on. If he's in heavenly places, he's the same. If he's in the lower regions, is he catching hell? He's the same. Because he doesn't allow hellish situations to steal his anointing. Christ, that's the anointed one. He's the same one that ascended. Because he doesn't allow hell to rob him of his anointing. And that's very important. Because just like Jesus went to hell to get us, y'all, we got to go to hell and get some other folk out. But when you go to hell, you can't lose your anointing in hell. If you're trying to win an alcoholic, you can't get drunk with them. If you're trying to win a crackhead, you can't get high with them. If you're trying to win a prostitute or a pimp, you can't lay down with them. You cannot lose your anointing when you go through your hell. Here it is. Here it is. He ascended above the heavens that he might fill the earth. Watch this. Watch this. He descended to the deep. Then he ascended above the heavens. Wait a minute. When we meet Jesus, he is in heaven. And he's in heaven at the right hand of the Father. He's on the throne of Christ. All that kind of stuff. But then he descends to the deep. And then after that, he ascends above the heavens. Oh, y'all missing this thing. When we see him first, he's in heaven. He's at the right hand of the Father in heaven. He's at the throne of Christ in heaven. But then when he descended into hell, when he came out, he went above where he was before he descended. Y'all, when you catching hell and you going through hell, you got to follow Jesus out, because when you come out of it, you will be higher than you've ever been before. Do I have a witness in here? Y'all, you know what? Just like Jesus came to hell to get us, y'all, we got to go to hell to get some other.
Oh, we're going to have to stop the tape right there today. But you can see that Jeffrey Johnson, Pastor Johnson, he really put that thing together about what in hell was Jesus doing. He was getting folks out of hell and taking them back to heaven. All right, that's it for today. Thank you so kindly for joining us. Listen to us all day long, because we're in your corner right here in the Situation Room.